Throughout my life, I've had two dogs. They're both very different from one another in terms of their temperament and how they like to play. But one thing in common with both of them is that they're mixed breed dogs. One was an Australian cattle mix, and the other is a Husky McNab mix. Of course, there's many other breeds that might make up their DNA, but those were just the most apparent you could see. And I'm happy to report that these two dogs have experienced happy lives. They had no immediate health problems, were adorable, and were adopted at humane societies. Sadly, the same cannot be said about the dog industry. The selective breeding of dogs is a dangerous thing made even more dangerous by the societal treatment of them, which means that the experience that my dogs have is sadly a rare one. Hello, and welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie On Dog Breeding. Now, I am really not the authority on dogs. That being said, I still have some opinions about how they're treated and how it sets unfair standards. I do want to warn you, this is going to be a little bit of a sadder episode as I'm going to go into the darker side of dog breeding, but I think it's a really important topic and I, as I mentioned, have many opinions to be formed about them. So as I start, I just want to paint you a picture of two dogs. One dog is living the high life in their penthouse, while another is abandoned on the streets and has to scrounge for its food. That may sound like an unfortunate reality for the second dog, but this isn't about adoption, because chances are likely that the first dog is actually suffering as much, if not more, than the second one. The reason for this goes beyond deeper than surface level. It's genetics. Purebred, well-treated dogs are typically interbred or suffer with limited gene pools. In fact, the majority of dogs are affected by interbreeding in some way, especially those who are bred for appearance over a function or a purpose. Like cattle dogs have a purpose and that's why they're bred, whereas poodles are just bred to look like poodles. A sheepdog might be less inbred than something like a pug, and pugs are also classically known to have breathing problems as a result of this cosmetic breeding. So let's do some basic biology to explain this. If you start with 200 dogs of one breed and breed them all together, after a while, you run out of dogs that aren't related to each other. So you have to breed dogs who are related. This means some of the genes overlap, and let's say there's a harmful disease that passes on in one dog family, and two members of that family mate. Well, now that dog lineage will continue to pass on that disease continuously. If you start with 200 dogs of the same breed and breed them with different dog species randomly, these overlapping genes and genomes aren't at risk for each other. Even if one dog family has a harmful disease, breeding with a random dog makes it much less likely to pass that on. While explained with dogs, this is the importance of genetic diversity in any population. But sadly, dogs as a species do not experience this important genetic diversity. And this only worsens with things like dog shows. Dog shows are events where dogs are literally judged by how well they fit into the little box of their breed. A poodle is judged by how well it looks like a poodle, and a pug is judged by how well it looks like a pug. But to fit into this box means to sacrifice the health and well-being of the dog in order to make it look a certain way. And for what? Money? Prestige? Now, I won't claim things haven't gotten better. In 2024, just this year, the Westminster Dog Show's agility competition was won by a Border Collie Papillon mix. This dog, aptly named Nimble, has hopefully set a standard that welcomes mixed breed dogs as just even more capable than purebred ones while being much more ethical and healthy. But what's interesting is the Westminster Dog Show is known to be one of the most premier dog shows out there, the top line, the most well considered. And so for them to have taken this step towards accepting maybe not a purebred dog is pretty huge. But for a long time, the only winning dogs were the purebred ones, which goes back to those same ideas of money and prestige. And what's sad is that money and prestige are the exact same factors puppy mills care about in their operations. So let's talk about puppy mills now. Puppy mills see dogs as breeding machines, keeping them in poor conditions, which usually means being caged and sick their entire life, to produce a desired breed of dog to sell off to the highest bidder. Part of the problem with puppy mills is that they prevent the natural socialization period for dogs when they're young, which contributes to these dogs having social and behavioral issues. And what's crazy is that in the United States, there are an estimated 10,000 puppy mills that actively sell a total of 2.6 million dogs annually. And if you're curious why there isn't any better legislation stopping puppy mills, well, I have a great answer for you. The American Kennel Club, the organization that calls itself, quote, the recognized and trusted expert in breed, health, and training information for all dogs, the American Kennel Club actively advocates for responsible dog ownership and is dedicated to advancing dog sports, end quote, opposed more than 450 bills that aim to help dogs and stop puppy mills since 2008. Coincidentally, on their website, you can click a button called, quote, find a purebred puppy, end quote. Yes, definitely the trusted experts in health for dogs if they're talking about purebred puppies. So, it's a conspiracy about organizations like these promoting puppy mills so they can get more money and further dog sports while treating dogs as little toys that can be caged, grow sick, and die, all without remorse. This bleeds in really well with my next point, because if you breed dogs without socializing them, you're sure to get dogs with attitude issues. So let's get into dog training. Okay, we've all heard the stories. A big, scary, bully dog tears into someone and it ends badly. The dog meets an unfortunate end, the person is forever scared of dogs, and the societal idea that XL bully dogs or pit bulls are bloodthirsty is cemented. This has some real consequences. For example, on February 1st of 2024, the United Kingdom banned all XL bully breeds. To be clear, this refers to a breed that was started in America in the 80s. The American Bully Kennel Club's breed standard describes the dogs as giving the impression of great strength for its size. These dogs typically look like a stronger, sturdier pit bull and are a subtype of the American bully dog. This ban came after a lot of discourse about these dogs attacking and killing people. I agree that with these kinds of dangers, it is crucial to make sure these dogs are properly trained, but banning them might not be the solution it seems like. Even with a special certificate, it is still allowed. These dogs also have to be muzzled and on leash in public and neutered. This is an extension of the Dangerous Dogs Act of 1991 that bans what the UK deems to be dangerous dogs, including pit bulls. The issue I have is that this places a huge strain on responsible owners while also not doing anything to counteract illegal practices with these dogs. I feel like banning a dog breed and calling it dangerous seeds more fear about the dogs than anything else, because now people are forever afraid of this breed of dog instead of actually putting the work into making sure that they're better trained and better treated. Now, you may be asking, what shall we do if not ban these dogs? I think it comes down to the owners. While these laws and general societal ideals about these dogs are touted as promoting responsible pet ownership, the reality is that a responsible owner is one who can train their dogs. Oftentimes, the danger lies more with the owners who think they don't need to train their dogs, like small dog owners, rather than larger ones. Let me explain it this way. People are more careful with something known as dangerous, minus the few bad apples. People may abuse the privilege associated with something that isn't dangerous. Chihuahuas are all the adorable little menaces that we know and love. Rather, they have a reputation for being menaces and very aggressive, maybe even more aggressive than some of the dogs that have long been touted as dangerous. And yet, there's no laws about these dogs. Primarily because they're so small and don't cause as much damage as others, but I'd claim that Chihuahuas and other aggressive small dogs are ones who have the most irresponsible owners. This is because small dogs are seen as automatically non-dangerous, so owners don't spend the necessary amount of time training their pets. In addition, Chihuahuas are usually treated like little toys, their boundaries being ignored since they're too small to really put up a fight. This manifests as aggression to prove their boundaries, despite the fact that it shouldn't have to be that get that far for an animal to become desperate. So once again, you see it's an issue with the owners. They're not respecting an animal's life and instead pushing it past its boundaries. Truthfully, the difference between an untrained small dog and an untrained large dog are massive. I don't mean that in terms of actual size, but rather in terms of treatment. Society praises one as acceptable while condemning the other as dangerous. I think it's high time we all recognize the importance of being a good dog owner, no matter what breed of dog we have. And while none of this changes the law in places like the UK, it's important not to criminalize a whole breed, as that can be a very slippery slope. We have human beings breeding dogs in inhumane ways, treating animals horribly, and then blaming the animals for being violent and dangerous. I wonder, has anyone thought that humans were the violent and dangerous ones? Maybe an idea to toss out there, to consider next time we think about banning an entire breed of dogs, because owners don't know how to properly take care of them. Anyway, my last argument is once again more related to proper dog ownership, but it's a little bit lighter than some of the other issues I've touched on. The McNabb and Husky dog I have, Molly, hates the summer. She stays in the basement and doesn't enjoy going outside at all. In the winter, though, she will frolic and stay outside for as long as she possibly can. This is partially because she was bred to be a winter dog. So when I walk around in a warm climate city and see a Husky or a Samoyed, it is not a fun sight. Dogs who are bred for a purpose like cattle and hunting are one thing because their attitude matters more than appearance, but also because it's a behavioral thing. But dogs that are bred for temperature should not be kept at the opposite temperature. Like greyhounds with short hair and not a lot of body fat shouldn't be in pure winter environments. It goes both ways. That isn't to say a winter dog should never be in a warm temperature, since you can take measures to make sure your dog stays cool, or that a more summery dog can't be in the cold, only they should not be kept only in warm temperatures or only cold temperatures. I feel like it's super selfish when dog owners pick a dog that looks cool or is cute without actually considering the proper environment and attitude to treat these dogs with. And I think this is overall the big issue I have with human beings and dog breeds. It's that people don't do enough research on the dog that they're getting, they don't understand the dog that they're getting, they don't understand the proper training that dog requires, and instead, because all these assumptions are made, it either ends up with an aggressive dog, or a dog that doesn't necessarily know how to control itself, and in the worst case scenario, you get a puppy mill dog that simply was never socialized as a puppy, and so does not have the ability to be as easily trained or as easily respectful of other humans. With that, I hope whatever dog or pet you have, you treat it with the respect it deserves. At the end of the day, we're all living creatures and deserve a little empathy and grace. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Jackie On. I hope to see you in the next one.